Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. I am Kevin. Join with me, as always, is Andrew. Andrew, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Kevin. Basketball starts on Tuesday. That means it's my time of season. This is the age of Andrew from now until hopefully April 10th or 8th or whatever the day is. It's time for us to really live. We are fully formed people during this time of year. Time of year, we're just we're fine.
It's interesting that this podcast has not been a thing until a couple days before the basketball season. I don't think there's much to read into that, or maybe there's a whole lot to read into that.
It's a hibernation season for us. Like, we're like bears. We crawl up into our little holes. We just take a little nap for 6 months or whatever it is. And I'll tell you, I mean, one thing about this podcast is that we're not beholden to anybody. We don't work for a newspaper. We're just two dudes sitting and talking on Skype in their respective homes. Who want to talk about KU Talk basketball? Studios. Jayhawk Tuck Studios. Hey, I'm talking to you right across the way here. but it's so we're not beholden to anybody, and therefore we don't have a boss to say, like, hey, you guys better do a podcast, because we just, I'll tell you this quick story. I was at the Oregon game. You know this. Sitting in the last row last March, and I was booking my tickets, was ready to go, and then that Oregon game just really bummed me out. And then we did other things, we just didn't get going, but we're going to do this. We talked about this, Kevin, every Sunday morning. That'll get caught you up on the days or the week's news of KU basketball, KU sports, and then get you ready for the next week, and hopefully have a little, so maybe some jokes interspersed in there too. I think that's our schedule. I think that's a good one.
I think it is too, Andrew. And I got to say, there has been a lot that's happened since we last spoke on this podcast. We're going to do this thing where we talk about a couple of those things for like a minute, because I have a feeling most of you people, you've already gone through this. You don't need to go through everything that's happened over the past 6 months. You were there. You remember what's happened. But we haven't given our takes on it, and really just a couple things. We're not going to talk about all the little stuff, but the Adidas FBI thing and the Mizzou stuff, I think, warrants a little bit of conversation. Then we're going to talk a little football. We're going to do it. We're going to talk a little football for a little bit, just a few minutes. And then we're going to get into our KU basketball preview. And again, right, the preview to the preview means we're going to do an actual preview next week, but we're kind of getting it going this week.
Just a little nugget, just a little, you know, a little taste of the preview next week. We're only going to have an exhibition game in between now and then. We'll just have a little bit more information, probably not too much, but next week we'll really get into it. But we just want to, you know, get our feet wet, get ready for this season, and we'll do that here at the end.
Andrew, we've already had an exhibition game, and it was called the Showdown for Relief. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
You've heard of that? Okay, so the Showdown for Relief happened last week. I want to talk about this for a couple minutes, Andrew. Well, first of all, let's get the good stuff out of the way. They raised $2 million. Great idea. I think the original impetus for this was Bill Self's dad, who sort of recommended it back. This was back several years ago, right? After one of the hurricanes, he tried to get something. Did you read about this? I'm maybe
no,
making this up.
No.
I'm pretty sure it was his dad that tried to get the NCAA to do it through Bill. They didn't do it, and then this time around, you know, Bill got him to do it. So that's good. It's kind of cool that you know, it started with Self's dad. And we raised $2 million. They got 40 of my dollars. I watched it online because I had a sick kid. But it sounded like, for those that actually went to the game, it was pretty bonkers, which is cool, right? The Kansas-Missouri rivalry kind of got a little tiny itty-bitty shot in the arm with this game. I think that we've probably got some takes on Mizzou, so let's just start there. So first of all, Andrew, what did you think of the game itself, the idea for the game, and then And then did it feel sort of like a little shot in the arm?
Well, definitely a shot in the arm. I'm gonna go on the extreme. I'm gonna take the extreme side here. Don't love it. I know we raised a bunch of money, and I think that that's great, and I think that it's gonna go towards a great cause. But I don't want to give Missouri anything. This ups their profile. This help, and this is all me talking from a very limited perspective of the KU-MU rivalry. Nothing else. But it ups their profile. I mean, they're probably going to be the best team that they've had in 5 years, and probably for the next 5 years, this season. And you know, it's good. But you know, we made a pledge that we're not going to play them if they were going to leave. Like, we made that threat. We need to keep up with that threat. So I mean, if these guys, you know, like Gary Parrish and these guys on CBS and their little shows, like, oh, we need to do this every year. Need to do this every year. I don't think we do. Like, this is the one-time deal for hurricane relief. Missouri, you did leave. We threatened that we would never play you again, and we're gonna keep up to that.
So if I'm hearing you right, the only time we could play Mizzou is after an absolute travesty.
Sure.
Okay, got it. So that's the only time. So if you're a fan of the Kansas-Missouri basketball rivalry, cheer for something to happen that's terrible, and then maybe we'll raise.
I guess
some money.
I guess that's what I'm saying.
sounds like what you're saying.
And really, like, it was, how awesome did it make the game that, like, there was so much time in between? Maybe I'm more of an advocate of that. Is that we don't need to have this yearly rivalry like Missouri has with Illinois, where they have the backyard brawl or the or whatever they call it, the bragging rights game. Like, we don't need to have that. Like, they don't deserve that. Uh-huh. Maybe the fans deserve it, but Missouri as a team and a program doesn't deserve that. I'll say that.
All right. So I have a Facebook friend who's a Mizzou guy. I didn't actually know he was a Mizzou guy. I got somebody from work. But anyway, I'm talking to this guy, and he leaves some post. He's like, I need KU fans to help me out here. After that game, how could you not want to play anymore? How could you not want to do that? Give me the KU perspective as to why you wouldn't. And I started thinking about it, and I, you know, I opened up the little browser there, hit reply, and then I was kind of stuck. And my response, as I started to type it, well, that doesn't make sense, and like, that wasn't very good. And then the way I ultimately went with it was, listen, I do miss the game. I do miss the rivalry. But then I realized what I miss. It's not the game itself, and it's not, you know, playing them or doing something at Sprint Center. It's having them on campus. That's what I miss. I miss the home games and, frankly, the away games, because I love to go in there and beat them. So here's my take. If we're going to do this and actually do it, it needs to be a home and home deal. Maybe alternate years, not this Sprint Center nonsense. It's not the same feel. When you have Missouri come through through the halls and enter the court, there's no boo like it. And there's never going to be a boo like it. K-State for what? I mean, Iowa State, no. It's not the same. So if we're going to do this, we need to have them on campus. That's my take. And honestly, I don't think that's ever going to happen. If they ever did it, it's going to be some neutral site nonsense. And I don't think we get enough out of it. If it's home and home, I'm in. Otherwise, I'm out. What do you think, Andrew?
Well, you know, I do miss, I mean, it's a Kansas City thing. You know, there's your neighbors might be Mizzou people, the people you work with, maybe Mizzou people. I miss that. The bickering back and forth. Like, that's what makes this interesting, at least at the Kansas City level. You know, and I just remember being in college and on campus, and Mizzou week was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, you know, bootleg t-shirts being made. It was, you know, somebody would get somebody's cell phone number, and like, everybody would be calling. I mean, it was insane. I mean, this was every year. And this was a game you had to win, no matter if they were good or they were bad. You had to win, and we didn't lose very many. I'll say that we didn't lose very many. We lost maybe, you know, a handful in the last 10 years, probably less than that. And you know, it's something I do miss. But you know, we have to make good on our threat, and you know, maybe there's a time where that can go away, but it can't be the way it was, and that's their fault. I'll say that's their fault.
Yeah, they'd say it's Bill Self's fault, who clearly is the one that's sort of driving this on KU's side. I think there's too much money to be made otherwise. If this was a Zenger call, I think we'd probably already be playing him. Just a guess. I mean, I could be wrong there, but...
Well, and I'll say this, too. It's not like we don't play anybody. I mean, we play Michigan State, Duke, and Kentucky, rotating that. I mean, we do home and homes with Ohio State. We do...
It's not that at all. Like, it's... In fact, this would probably hurt our scheduling most years, at least right now. So, no, I completely agree with that. That's not even part of the equation. It's just a... You look at, like, Iowa and Iowa State. They play each other every year.
That's mandated by the legislature.
Oh, that's true. It is.
They had to have legislative intervention for and Northern Iowa too. Like they all have to play their little rotating thing.
I forgot about that. That's hilarious. Well, Andrew, I don't like the name Showdown for Relief. So if we have another travesty, something terrible that happens, I argue that our marketing people need to come up with a better name.
Just go back to Border War. Border Showdown. Border War.
Border War.
Let's get back to what this really is. This is an extension of the Civil War. This is an extension of our people versus their people. That's what this is, Kevin.
All right, let's talk about the game for a second. So the game was kind of fun. You know, obviously, both teams are not ready for high-level basketball yet. But I think Devontae Graham might be.
Devontae's ready. Devontae's probably been ready since April 1st.
I think you're right.
To play in these games and probably even, you know, before that. Even he was sitting behind Frank Mason, obviously getting a lot of playing time. You know, I think he was one of the leaders in minutes for the Big 12 last year, probably in the country last year. But this is Devontae's show. This is his show. We've got guys who are upperclassmen. We've got guys who are five-star recruits. Got guys who are McDonald's All-Americans on this team. But it's not their show. This is Devontae's show. And last Sunday, for the Showdown for Relief, that was Devontae Graham's game. He scored 25 points. Looked like the best player on the floor. He had Michael Porter out there, and he had all these other guys out there. That was Devontae Graham's game.
He had 10 rebounds, too. I mean, he's legitimately... I don't know. He's a legitimate All-American type player, I think, this year. I mean, I think there's no doubt that he has a chance to be a first team All-American. I think most people are putting him as the Big 12 preseason player of the year. I think he'll get the numbers to get there. So, I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with that. So I think it'll be a lot of fun to watch him this year. I hope he doesn't try to go, you know, two hero ball. I didn't see that at all from him in this game, even though he shot 13 threes. Those are good threes. I mean, if he makes half of them, which he basically did, 6 of 13, I mean, whatever. Shoot 13 threes a game. I love it. So I hope that that's a sign of things to come. Andrew Udoka looked pretty good, too. Very efficient, 16 points on 7 of 9 shooting. Really kind of cued that second half run when they realized, or we realized, that Udoka was not going to be stopped if they got him the ball in the paint. So we need to hopefully keep that boy healthy this year.
Right.
I think he's a huge key to this team.
If we're going to be the best team in the country this year, maybe, or top four, or, you know, best team. So if we're going to be a Final Four team, if we're going to be a national championship team, it will be because Udoka Azubuike, one, stayed healthy, two, stayed out of foul trouble, and three, took the next step forward and was dominant like he was in the second half of that game. Because we don't have a lot of size, but he's big. If he can play, if he can suck up all those minutes and play Jayhawk basketball, play from the inside out, you know, be a rebounder, have a couple post moves, then we're going to be a pretty good team. But it's, you know, if he goes down, if he kind of has a sophomore slump at some point, it's going to be pretty tough for us. So
I think his slump is still going to be better than whatever else we got. I mean,
well, that's right, but that doesn't. It takes us down a couple pegs.
I agree.
You know, whereas other folks, you know, other years, you know, you can have a Jeff Withey have a sophomore slump where he doesn't even play his sophomore year for KU. You know, but we're overly relying on him being good.
He doesn't have. Go ahead.
Well, he doesn't have the. We don't have the luxury of being able to, you know, retool him, take him out, play him here and there, and retool him. He has to play.
Couple things. He actually did show some post moves in that game, which were kind of exciting. That showed, I can't remember who did it, but I saw the a meme on Twitter. Someone said like Happy learned how to putt was basically like Udoka learned some post moves. It was and I completely agree. If he could start putting some moves together, he's gonna be tough to stop. Question for you: what kind of minutes do you expect from him on a game to game basis? If I were to set the over under at like 27-45 a game. Do you think he's over or under that, or do you think that's about right?
I think he's under. In my head, I thought 25.
Okay. Yeah, and that wouldn't surprise me a lot. And I actually, it'll be interesting to see if Bill has the patience and ability to leave him on the bench at times when he obviously wants to put him back in. We are a different team when he's on the bench, like a completely different team. So I think some of that will also be the development of Billy Preston. If we feel like he can come out there and really, add really good minutes. And then frankly, I mean, at some point we're a little low on the front court. I mean, we're going to be playing small ball again this year, quite a bit. I mean, we might be playing small ball from the beginning. I mean, Billy might be coming off the bench. And I think a lot of people think that might be the case. So
we're going to be playing small ball without Josh Jackson, which is going to be, it's going to be tough. It was easy with Josh Jackson.
Yeah, because he could defend four positions. I mean, he was amazing.
And rebound. I mean, he could rebound. I mean, he could guard the four extremely well because he was so long, so quick, and tough. I mean, he was skinny guy, but he was tough. He could guard that four. Can LeGerald Vick guard the four?
Yeah.
Can Sfee, who's lost 20 pounds? Even Marcus Garrett might even play the small ball four. But, you know, he's a freshman who doesn't really know what he's doing. I mean, it depends on who we put at that spot. I'm not worried about it on offense. Yeah. I'm really not. Those guys can shoot. Those guys can do different things, play, post up, and do their thing. But it's on defense when you've got two big guys and you've got someone like LeGerald Vick trying to guard, let's say it's Texas where you're going to have, some pretty good size and pretty good offensive weapons on the post. You know, LeGerald Vick's going to struggle. And not because he's a bad player, but because that's just not what he does. That's not his skill set. So if you have Udoka in there and have Billy Preston at the four on defense, that's solid. I mean, if they can step up their defense, and I think Udoka is going to be a shot blocker. Billy Preston is just going to be a quick guy. I mean, he's going to be all, defensive basketball player. That's going to be pretty good defensively. So Billy Preston's going to be relied a lot, too, to, take some steps forward as a freshman where, in other years he could afford to kind of learn on the fly or be able to learn and develop it. Like guys like Kelly Oubre, we could put him on the bench and he can have it figured out by January and then we're like, great, good to go. Billy Preston doesn't really get that this year.
Well, the good news is I completely agree with you. We need him to not play like a freshman this year. But the good news is, I think we do have until January for him to figure it out because our non-con is not that awesome. It's clear he's going to play minutes because Doak is not going to be able to play 40 minutes a game. He's going to get a lot of opportunities to play through mistakes, and I'm excited to see him because I think he could. A couple things that people kind of say about Billy Preston is he's got a lot of moves. He's got a great game, inside out game, good kind of mid range short game. But he doesn't always have the motor. And that's going to be a lot different coming from Josh Jackson, who brought probably too much motor sometimes. So we want to I want to kind of see if that's a thing, and hopefully he can get over that. Let's talk about Malik Newman too, Andrew, because he had 17 points, looked really sharp. I think he's going to be a little bit of a volume shooter and volume a player from – not just shooter, but he's getting to the rim a lot too. But he's going to put up a lot of shots. I think a lot of times that's going to be a good thing because he was getting some really good looks off the dribble. I really like his game. I think he's going to be awesome this year.
Yeah, and you just mentioned it. My one reaction to, I don't know if there's a better shooter off the dribble than anybody I've seen in college basketball in a while. I mean, it's when you look for that on Tuesday night. Him shooting off the dribble, especially from the three-point range. No one does that. Everybody's a catch-and-shoot shooter from the three-point line, but not him. He'll take it, and you know what? His shots look good off the dribble. Usually, it's, somebody's coming down and just cranks it up, and if it goes in, unless you're Steph Curry, it just looks horrible. But he's different. Like he's maybe he's just, you know, honed that skill, and I think that's going to be useful for a couple reasons. Like we're going to have, you know, post up 3-point shooters in Sviatoslav and to a certain extent LeGerald and Devonte Graham. Devonte is a driving kick type of player, and then if you have that other opportunity, that other weapon of a guy who can dribble down the floor, dribble to the side and take that shot and have it be a good shot, high percentage shot, we're going to be dangerous from three.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Svi, because one guy who didn't look very good, that was Svi. He just didn't quite look there. 2 points in 27 minutes. Didn't really get many looks. Wasn't looking for it. Had at least one bad turnover. Just kind of floated through the game.
It felt like he had more, but he only had one in the box score.
Really? Okay. Yeah, it felt like he had more. I just remember one bad one. But he just wasn't a part of the game. I mean, it was kind of hopefully not a sign of things to come, because obviously we're all hoping for a breakout Svi year. Of course, we've said that a couple times now on this podcast. This is the year for Svi, but
this is the year. I'm not ready to push the panic button on Svi. This was an exhibition game where, honestly, we're just trying to figure out where he fits into this offense.
Yep.
I mean, this is his fourth year on the team, but it's a different team, different structure. I don't think we'll be having this conversation in a month or two about Sviatoslav. I think that, you know, I don't think he's going to be an All-American type of player, but he's going to be a good shooter. I think he's going to develop a couple other places. He's, you know, we know he has handles and good passing, so I think we'll see a little bit more of that. So I'm not ready to push the panic button. However, I was not thrilled with the way he played, but exhibition game, still getting himself ready.
All right.
One other thing. I think Svi's the type of player who will go for 20 and then go for 2. And then go for 15, and then go for 3. Like, that's his history of playing. Like, that's how it's going to happen. Like, and we've got to be okay with that.
The problem is, when he goes for 2, he doesn't add anything on defense. So, you got to... That's a game where he's maybe going for 2 because he's not on the floor. So, we'll see. The worst stat, I think, from this game in the box score, no technical fouls. A little too lovey-dovey. I understand.
Well, it's
for
an
charity.
Exhibition, and so, you know, the referees are trying to get used to this too. So maybe there should have been some call, and they just like we're gonna hold
this
on
is
to
for
their
charity.
Whistle.
We're not gonna do
this.
That.
Swallow the whistle on that, but a little disappointed. There should at least have been something.
Definitely a couple more technical fouls. All right, Andrew. I think that's enough about Mizzou. Let's talk about this Adidas thing. And you've probably followed it a little closer than I have, but obviously we've seen some college basketball sort of get rocked for about a couple weeks there. And then I think it's sort of a lull right now, but maybe it shouldn't be. I think there's probably still more to come. We saw Pitino lose his job. We saw an Oklahoma State assistant lose his job. We saw this FBI report come out that was pretty scathing on some pay for play going on with an Adidas rep. What do you think about this thing, man?
Well, I think the question I get asked most is, am I worried about it? And I'd be lying to you if I said no. Because, of course, we have to be worried about it. We regard ourselves, and maybe Louisville disagrees, but we regard ourselves as the premier Adidas team in the country. And we probably talk more about shoe contracts and apparel contracts on this podcast than we should. And really more than I like, because I don't really like talking about that. I remember back in the day we were talking about, should we switch to Nike? In my head, I'm like, I don't care.
Nike.
Like, I don't want to be talking about this because I just don't care
about
it.
I'm still a switch to Nike guy.
Like, see, I know you are.
In my heart, I am.
I just really don't care. And in my head, I guess it was, you know, Adidas is taking care of us. You know, they regard us as a high school, like we're all of their focus. And whereas before that was regarded as a strength, Like this was Adidas was focusing on us. They were catering to us. Now that's pretty scary. What are they doing? Like what are they? Did they go get Cliff Alexander for us when Bill Self really didn't want him? It's like, here he is. We got him for you. And there's a couple other guys I can think about that too, where kind of out of nowhere we got guys that Bill Self probably like kind of seems like he didn't really want. You know, and I'm not saying that that's what happened, but I'm just worried that, and I'm not saying that the coaches would have done anything, but sometimes things are out of your control where some overzealous AAU coaches combined with shoe contract guys and, you know, things get out of control. And I don't know, but because it's just such a shady business in the shoe contract world and the AAU world, like who knows? So, yeah. I mean, and I know that the Bill Self likes to at least to verbally express it, like likes to run a clean program, and I think places like KU and Kentucky, as much as KU fans hate to hear this, I don't think that they have to be dirty. You know, if you go to KU, you know you've got a good shot to get into the NBA, and same with Kentucky, and same with Duke. So I think of those larger programs, you don't have to.
Right.
The counter to that is Louisville did it. Rick Pitino did it. You would think they'd be almost in that category as well. Arizona's getting looked at a little closer.
Sure.
You would think that they would be in that category too. So if they're being looked at, and you know there have been things that come out that you know people may go to jail for, then we could be grouped into that category too.
You're crazy to think that, and not you, just figuratively you, are crazy to think that this stuff doesn't go on at almost every level at every school, that something has happened at Kansas. It has. It absolutely has. Now, I don't know what it was, and maybe it's tiny. Maybe it's just a little gray area. I think we operate in the gray. I think any good school probably also operates in the gray, but it happens everywhere at every level. And I don't, you know, this whole report thing kind of shine some light on some of the, you know, the negative parts of college basketball that we know and everyone and anyone who follows college basketball closely knows is a thing. And it's not a surprise. None of this was a surprise to me. I don't know about you. Like, I didn't come away with this like,
oh no,
wow, this is nut. Like, I'm like, yeah, I'm surprised.
Of course, yeah, we knew like this yep. was going there. We knew this.
Not shocking.
And we knew this is how it works too. Like we knew the yeah. internal operators, we knew the middlemen. We like this is not a like oh wow, well this scheme is innovative and
I know.
Just they were hiding it. No, we knew.
Now the way it was found out was kind of interesting with like the
like a financial advisor.
Yeah, that like flipped and you know the thing is though like the people they've brought in on this, it wouldn't surprise me if all of them are flipping, right? Because these are not like they're not people that are lifetime criminals or whatever, you know. Like,
this isn't the Omerta. This isn't like the I'm gonna take one for my guys. I'm never gonna rat.
Not
these guys
all.
Are gonna rat.
Absolutely. So there's more to come from this, I think, and it obviously shines some light on some things that maybe will help clean up, you know, some of it. I don't think it will clean up all of it, but we'll see. And it's kind of dirty. It sucks that this is a part of college basketball, especially high level college basketball, but you're burying your head in the sand if you think it's not a part of what Kansas has done. Like there's something in there, you know, there is. I know there is. And then so when someone says, hey Kevin, are you concerned about this, when you're also crazy to say, no, of course not. Why would I be concerned about this? We run a clean program. Bill Self would never do that. Like, I agree. I don't think Bill Self would ever do that. But there's a whole lot of stuff that happens under Bill Self that Bill Self probably purposely doesn't know about. And that's, you're crazy if you don't think that happens. So, anyway, hopefully it doesn't touch our program.
Right, and my KU basketball rooting interests aside, this is probably healthy for the sport, you know, as a reckoning, as a chickens coming home to roost, as a Ragnarok, or as a everyone all grievances being addressed and a new world being built. Like this is probably healthy that we can kind of put the fear of God into these assistant coaches that you could go to federal prison for doing this, or head coaches like or Adidas guys, Nike guys. You can put you have the fear of federal prison behind you, and that may help clean things up a little bit. I don't think it'll completely do it, but I guarantee you those shoe contract guys are not doing that now, or at least for a while. Knowing that that's underneath them, so it's probably healthy for there to be this final reckoning, but you know, I'll be keeping my eyes on Twitter for future developments, whether it's our team, and I, you know, I'm not saying it's more than any other school in the country, but I think everybody's going to be keeping an eye on it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there's more to come on that. We will certainly track that as it comes out. Probably have some more hot takes. Let's do a couple quick hitters on college basketball, and then let's talk a little football. Real quick, I saw, Andrew, that they're retiring Cole and Sharon's jerseys in February. I'm pretty excited about this.
Oh, hell yeah.
Obviously, Sharon was a no-brainer. Like, no-brainer at all.
And right. Cole, they're both All-Americans.
Cole's an All-American. Yeah, so you knew it was happening. But really cool these two guys will hang in the rafters.
Oh, absolutely. That 2010 team was one of the most fun teams I've ever watched. You had the Morris twins. You had Cole. You had Sharon. You had Xavier Henry. I mean, this was the Northern Iowa team. It could have been one of the best teams we've ever had. Possibly even better than that 08 team we just lost in the second round. Lost two games all year. I loved watching those two guys. I loved watching those teams, you know, really from 08 to 10 with those two guys on it. They were fun players too, like outside of basketball. You saw Sharon everywhere, and Cole, you saw him, and he was like always taking pictures with kids, and he has tooth knocked out, and it was kind of like funny. And I mean, they were. The best kind of KU basketball player, like kind of the idealized KU basketball player, in the sense of they were tough, they were gritty, they kind of worked themselves up a little bit. Like, they didn't immediately start, even though they were, you know, both McDonald's All-Americans. They got better with the system, got better with Bill Self. And guys who, you know, Cole still plays in the NBA a little bit, but, you know, Sharon still comes back, maybe more than he should.
I think he lives in Lawrence now.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's just always around, and I think that's great because I love Sharon.
I do too.
I think, and people ask me this question, like, who's your favorite basketball player? And I've got a lot of answers, and it varies from day to day when people ask me. But like, Sharon Collins might be my favorite player of all time.
He's up there for me. Yeah, he was awesome. Like, I think people forget how awesome he was too, and definitely deserving. Pretty cool. I think we'll probably have to find some tickets to both those games. Andrew, real quick, let's talk about the projected starting lineup, and then we'll take a tiny break and talk about football, and then we'll come back and do a little preview. So we know three, right? We know who's going to start, but who's going to take those last two spots out of Sfi, Vic, and Billy Preston? And let's do this. How about at the start of the year and then start a Big 12 season?
Well, I think that LeGerald Vic is too good not to keep on or to keep off the floor. I think LeGerald Vic is going to start. I don't think he's going to start every game, but I think he's going to get a lot of minutes or a lot of starts over Sviatoslav, because I think he's incredible. He is a great player who will probably play at least maybe in the NBA. He'll probably get a contract. I don't know if he's going to be a first round pick, but he's going to be a great player for us this year. So I'm going to say to start the year, it'll be LeGerald Vic, and I think we'll play with Billy Preston. But I think that there will be some times early on that Billy Preston comes off the bench, and maybe by Big 12 season, Billy Preston is starting over Sviatoslav, and Sviatoslav comes off the bench. So I guess to answer that question, we'll go with, I'm going to say to start the year, Billy Preston and LeGerald Vic, and then by the end, it'll be LeGerald Vic and Sviatoslav, and then Billy Preston may work himself back in.
Interesting. See, I'd go way the opposite. I think Preston sits early. He defers to his, you know, older guys, and then Preston maybe cracks the lineup in Big 12 play.
I think Bill's going to want him to get him minutes. And maybe it's just not, maybe that's not a starting role. But I think early on, as we're trying to figure out what player he's going to be against bad teams, he's going to be on the floor a lot.
I agree with that. I think he's going to play a lot either way. And I think all three of these guys are going to play a lot either way. It probably doesn't even matter. And you might be right, from game to game, you know, these guys might kind of flip in and out on who's the has the most minutes every game. It's probably going to alternate a little bit. But I really hope Preston ends up starting and being really good. Because I think our team, with Svi and Vic being able to, one of them come off the bench, we've got some talent at the wing, and they can both play a little bit, you know, for at the two as well. And I don't think Devontae's ever coming off the floor. So
I think he'll average 37 minutes a game
at least. Yeah. So I think the one nice thing is we've got a little depth there. Preston's probably gonna have to play either way, because we don't have depth at the four or five, and he's gonna have to play a little bit bigger sometimes than maybe he wants to. Okay, let's pause. We're gonna do some football talk. If you're not into football talk and they're just driving you nuts, just like 5 minutes. All right, five minutes tops. Right.
Just take your little iPhone, click the 15-second thing like 20 times, 15 times really, and you'll be clear. If you don't want to hear it,
ish. Yeah.
Okay, so
go ahead. You can go. You can go.
Kevin, you've had a child. We talked about this last season.
Mm-hmm.
You have not been going to as many KU football games.
Yeah,
you've been watching them.
I've had season tickets for basically since college. So I've been going since I graduated in 06. This is the first year I've not had season tickets. In fact, I've not gone to a game yet. Things were going on. We moved. We had kid, you know, whatever. This was the year we were going to take off. We're probably going to get them next year. Do I feel like I'm missing anything? Do I feel like I'm really sad that I'm not at those games? I mean, I miss the tailgates.
Yeah.
But the football, I don't feel anything wrong about not being there to cheer on the football team. It's been rough to watch. I was really hopeful for a step forward. I just wanted a step forward. Not a sidestep, definitely not a step backwards, just a step forward. I personally did not even care about wins and losses. I know some people were like, oh, we're going to win four games this year. You and I never said that. I was like, I do not care about wins, still do not care about wins. However, I would like to see competitive football. I would like to see the little things, shooting yourself in the foot, turnovers, just nonsense, penalties, bad coaching, bad decisions, all of that stuff cleaned up. You can do that and still be a bad football team. But it seems like, Andrew, they've gone backwards. Now I know we had a better showing against K-State, but I'm pretty sure K-State sucks. So I'm not sure how big of a deal that is. And the only thing I could take away from it is we were so freaking bad last week that at least you can point to, well, it was progress from last week.
Right.
But showing up would have been progress from last week.
I mean, going back, and I don't want to linger on this, but the TCU game, the Iowa State game,
awful.
Those were the low point of the program.
Rock bottom.
I mean, this is the low point of any program. I mean, this was the records were set for futility. We didn't score a touchdown for like 12 quarters.
Something like that. 10, 12 quarters. 12 quarters.
Whatever it was. Now, I'll move on. And I was there yesterday. I've been going. I've been to, I think I missed one game. I was out of town.
Bless you.
I've been to all the games except for one. And tailgates are great. They're still great, Kevin. We're still rocking on the tailgate section.
We might come next week.
The Jayhawk Talk tailgate. Down there north of the stadium. However, I'm going to talk about yesterday. I have a couple reactions from yesterday.
Okay.
One, this is in regards to the fans. And people are kind of taking your position on this, and that they're taking a year off from... Because, I mean, the stadium looks terrible.
Yeah.
And it can be exhibited by this. Was trying to type in on my iPhone. There are more K-State fans here than KU fans. However, the iPhone autocorrects K-State to karate. So the text message sent, there are more karate fans than KU fans.
True.
However, I didn't need to correct it because it was still true. There were more karate fans in that stadium than KU fans. There was not very many of us yesterday. Now, it got pretty loud for some spots, and I think that there were some bright spots. Carter Stanley threw for almost 400 yards. Biggest offensive performance from a quarterback since Todd Reesing 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So Carter Stanley, I mean, you know, we're air raid now. We were throwing the ball down the field. My other reaction is that, you know, in the end, we know we're bad. We know we're a terrible football team. But I think yesterday, K-State fans learned that they're also pretty bad.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think they knew it until yesterday. But when we had a chance, we were driving to tie the game with 5 minutes left. They were like, oh, we're not very good, are we?
We're not very good.
Like, KU could win this game. We're not very good. So, like, they know that now, too. I just wanted to point that out.
That's something that makes you feel a little better. Maybe just a touch. It appears we do have a new quarterback the rest of the year, right? There's no more QB controversy?
No.
None? Zero?
And Carter Stanley's our guy. And
it's very clear Peyton Bender is like an amazing quarterback in practice in shorts with nobody hitting him. Don't you think?
Right.
I think.
Well, he was good at the JUCO level too. He's great at the JUCO level. And maybe he is a better quarterback, but he's not a better quarterback for this personnel and this team.
Maybe so. I think he's got a better arm talent. I think he's generally probably forecast better as a quarterback, but there's no question that Carter's got to start. And frankly, I think they should just go all in and not do any of this two quarterback nonsense that we saw. Just let him take it no matter what. We're always playing for next year anyway. And so let's see what we got here in Carter Stanley. I think he did show some signs. He also had some mistakes. But I think we'll take that generally because he at least was out there trying his butt off. And I don't know. It was good to see that at least. Are you a Fire Zanger guy? There was a plane flying over the stadium. I think you probably saw with a Fire Zanger little tag on it. What do you think of that?
No, I'm not. I'm not. And we've got
Twitter is a Fire Zanger guy.
Twitter is mostly Fire Zanger. We've got a couple of friends who are probably leading that charge on Twitter and elsewhere. You know, in the back rooms of the country clubs. I'm not. And I'll tell you why. Because any person in that position, you, me, those people we're talking about who are on that train, would have hired David Beatty. With what we could have got for the salary we could afford, they would have hired David Beatty in a second. And that's what everyone's arguing about. It's like, you hired David Beatty. That's a terrible position pick. Everyone would have made that pick.
We also hired Charlie Weiss, to be fair.
And you know what? You would have hired Charlie Weiss, too. Do you remember how excited we were for Charlie Weiss? We were so jacked.
I can't remember. I think I've blocked all that from my memory about being super excited.
One of the first podcasts of this show was about how stoked we were for Charlie Weiss.
I've deleted it. It's a black hole. I don't remember.
And so it's a reflection on Zanger, but it's also a reflection on ourselves because we thought these were the right hires. And you know, in the moment they were, but it hasn't worked out.
I don't know who else could have been there. I'm not sure I could say I would have hired whoever. But
go back and listen. And on this podcast,
I know there's a lot of names that were floated back in those hiring days. And I remember those names. And I see them all the time on programs that are succeeding. So I remember seeing a lot of names that were floated and some people that were even talking about how they were interested in the program. And those names are still out there playing. You know.
Well, let's talk about a couple. Like one that comes to mind, this is back when Charlie Weiss days, was Mike Leach. Like Mike Leach is coaching a great Washington State program now. Has them ranked, has them, you know, breaking records again like they were at Texas Tech. But after the Mangino thing, he was never coming to KU. a couple other guys like Brent Venables just won a national championship with Clemson as the defensive coordinator. He was never going to come. Like, and why hasn't he gotten a job yet? There's got to be a reason. We don't know that. I mean, there's just things we're not privy to. And otherwise, it's just on this podcast, we predicted it was going to be Beatty. We went through 50 names and we're like, yep, it's going to be David Beatty. And you know what? It was David Beatty.
Yeah.
Two we would have hired.
Well, okay.
And if you think you can go get Les Miles, then God bless you and go try. But if you fail, yeah, you're going to be gone. I think he should be judged more. You know what? And maybe next year, if it doesn't get any better, then we need to look. So I'm not there yet. But like maybe it needs to be, if he can get this $3 million or $300 million stadium built, then
he deserves his job.
Let's keep rolling.
If you can raise $300 million for a football team that averages one win over 4 years, then you're pretty good at your job. Which that is his job, by the way, is to do that kind of stuff. He's done a really good job at it. He's also there to, you know, along with others to and pressure from alumni to hire good coaches and keep good coaches. And we'll see if I still honestly think, and I know it's probably an opinion that is not popular, I still think Beatty, the jury is out. I think that he took over a program that was so terrible. I mean, maybe the worst ever beyond whatever K-State had. I don't want to hear about that nonsense. That I was willing to give him 5 years because I think that was realistically what it was going to take. Now, we haven't seen many steps forward. And in those 5 years, I wanted to see steps forward. I think after the Texas win last year, everyone kind of blew their load a little bit and he got his extension. He got a raise and blah, blah, blah. And then this year we've seen what we've seen. So I'm not willing to say he's the guy, but I'm willing to say he probably deserves a cup, at least another more year and probably two.
Yeah.
And
okay,
that
I'm
sucks.
Done.
That sucks.
I'm done
us.
Talking about football. I'm cutting us off.
All right.
Let's talk about basketball.
Okay.
You good? I don't want to talk about football anymore.
All right, that's fine.
Yeah, I spent all day yesterday having the same conversations. I'm done.
All right.
Done. Let's talk about the Big 12.
Okay.
All right. Can you have some notes on here. I want to deviate that. Let's walk through what we think the projected Big 12 is going to be from top to bottom. And I don't mean to have you power rank it immediately, but let's just kind of talk about general areas. I think we can put KU up top with West Virginia close as 1 and 2. Is that consensus?
I think TCU is closer than people think.
Right, but is TCU going to beat out West Virginia at the end of the year?
I don't think I'm willing to say it right now just because West Virginia, I don't know. They don't have the depth to do some of the stuff that they've been doing, some of their havoc stuff, but they still have a good team coming back. And they got some injuries, too. I can't remember the front court guy. Now, I'm not in basketball mode.
Ahmad.
Ahmad, yeah.
Yeah.
He's hurt, but I think he's supposed to come back sometime in the middle of the season. I think TCU is really good, actually. And I think this is a tier of three teams that is actually probably up there, maybe ahead of the next tier, at least that I'm willing to put right now.
Okay, so if we're talking tiers, so KU.
KU's in its own tier, I think, unfortunately, for the Big 12. Yeah.
And then the next two you'd put TCU and West Virginia in its own tier.
I think so. OU is the one that I'm not sure about. Because they've got Trey Young, rest in peace, Trey Young, to Kansas. They're pretty, I think he's going to actually be really, really, really good. I don't know if he's good enough to take them from what they were last year, which was terrible. But at least last year, they were losing games. But later in the season, they were looking a little better losing games. So they're young. They could really jump up. I think that's sort of the one I'm not sure about. They're kind of a wild card. And Baylor with Manu LeConte back, and they've got some guys still. They're right there too. I'm not sure anyone else is in the conversation to have a maybe Texas to have a above 500 Big 12 record.
Right. So let's talk about that order. I'm gonna make you do it here. Rank Baylor, OU, Texas.
I think I go in that order.
Baylor, OU, Texas. So you have Texas as the sixth team in the Big 12.
Yes.
So that's going to be borderline NCAA tournament.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. You think OU is a tournament team?
I don't know. It's tough right now to say. I think they could be. I think they're going to be in the conversation. I think Trae Young's really, really good. I think he's really, really good.
Okay. I think we're on the similar lines. I think Texas is going to be better than those teams just from the talent standpoint. That being said, very similar talent coming back, and they were pretty bad last year. Shaka did not get them to a level. So I think that, you know, that's something that we'll have to keep an eye on. But I think we're, you know, in line with kind of what the popular thinking,
I think,
for good or for bad.
McGusty, remember him? We liked his name.
Cameron McGusty's great.
He's really good. And I think he's going to be better. And they're going to have some really good guards.
I'm buying Kadeem, Kareem Latin's still back. I mean, they're going to be tough. I mean, they're going to be good top to bottom. Tournament team, I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the bottom. The remaining teams are Texas Tech, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, and am I missing a team?
You're missing K-State.
Oh, yeah. I did not do that on purpose. I just K-State basketball, very forgettable.
Hang on, I got a drop for you. It's the sandstorm. It's for you.
I literally...
They're out here to tell you what they think of what you just did.
I think all of those teams this year are very forgettable. I think it's a very clear bottom four.
I like Tech a little bit, but yeah, otherwise I agree.
Is Tech going to be an NIT team?
Yeah.
You think Tech will be an NIT team? Do you think they have any shot of being a tournament team?
I think Keenan Evans is really good, but that's it.
Zach Smith.
Yeah, he's back. Yeah, he's a senior, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's been around forever.
Yeah, he has been around forever. I think those guys are both good. They're actually young, or they're old now. Remember when they were young?
Yeah, they're all young guns. Now they're senior guys.
Remember back in the Brian Haney days when he was...
Yeah, the sophomores made the tournament, right?
Right.
When they were sophomores?
And now they're still all there. Now they're seniors. Looking at their top returners, senior, junior, freshman.
Wow. Wow. Well, Chris Beard has his work cut out for him because I don't think that anyone's given him much credit. And not that that matters, but didn't have the season they wanted last year.
Right.
But, you know, still have that talent, still have those guys who've been around forever, been around together. But, you know, can you see Texas Tech creeping up and being, you know, finishing higher than an OU, than a Texas?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I actually think that they are sort of in the Texas tier. I think it's right there. Then everyone below that is a big no, like K-State, Iowa State.
Okay, so maybe the bottom tier is the bottom three with K-State, Iowa State, and Oklahoma State.
Yes.
Like those are clearly, are any of those teams NIT teams?
I mean, I don't know what Iowa State's got. This is the year where Prohm's finally got only his guys left. Like these are only his guys. No more Hoiberg's. Sticking around. So now we get to see what he's made of. Maybe that's a good thing or maybe that's a really bad thing. I just don't, that's the only kind of, they're a little bit of a wild card too. But on paper, they don't look too good.
Okay. Well, Kevin, that is our Big 12 preview. We're going to get more into that next week. Between here and there, we just have an exhibition game on Tuesday on Halloween. It'll be interesting to see, you know, who starts, who doesn't start, who plays, and how that works out. But, you know, it'll be against the Pitt State Gorillas.
Hey, yo.
The classic rivalry.
We need to come up with a name for it. And it can't be the Showdown for Relief or the Sunflower Showdown. I think Showdown's my problem.
Yeah, the Highway 71 Showdown.
What did we call the K-State game? Oh, the Clash on the Caw.
The Clash on the Caw.
That's a good one.
I liked that. That would never go on a t-shirt or be sold at Hy-Vee.
No, Clash on the Caw.
Yeah.
That's what I'm calling it forever.
Yeah, I do like that. So, Pitt State Gorillas. and then next week, we're going to get into other things. We've got some new segments coming up. A couple. Let's just talk about some segments. Let's talk about the show. Okay. The show itself. We're gonna try to break it into more kind of funnier segments. I've got a segment idea for you.
What's
called
that?
Tattoo predictions.
Okay.
Okay. So it was inspired by an Instagram post I saw of a guy who got a Tennessee Titans 2017 AFC South Champions tattoo, and I'm like. You know, people get those, like, tattoos, that, like, oh, yeah, Kentucky Wildcats, 2015 champions.
Undefeated.
And then that never happens.
Yeah.
Like, what... So the goal is, like, I want you to make a prediction that you would get a tattoo of, that you are so certain that you would get a tattoo of that specific thing.
Like, should we do that before each game?
Or, we'll revisit it.
Okay.
Like, it should be at least at the beginning of the season.
All right.
Maybe before Big 12
Next week, we got to do some tattoo predictions.
Okay, so, folks, on Twitter... Send us some of your tattoo predictions. Predictions that you are so confident in that you will get a tattoo.
Tattoo prediction. Like, hashtag
Devontae Graham, Big 12 first team player.
All like right. That's a fair tattoo. Like, I could get comfortable with that.
Right. Or Malik Newman, newcomer of the year.
Ooh, I don't know about that. You know. Trey Young's up there.
Yeah. And Mo Bamba. There's some pretty good newcomers.
That's right.
And actually,
Texas.
Iowa State Wigington is their new guy who I think is going to be pretty good. And the only reason he may come out and win the newcomer of the year is he may be the only guy who can score for them.
Yeah.
So he'll be able to get the stats. But otherwise, so that's a segment. We're going to try to break it up into things like that. I've got a couple of other ideas I'm mulling around. So we've got to do our preseason awards, our Jayhawk Talkies.
Mm-hmm.
Preseason awards. There's, I don't know if we'll do that before Big 12 or next week, but those are always fun.
I just forgot about the word Jayhawk Talkies. Sorry.
Is that what we called them?
I think so.
What we called them, right?
If that's not, that's what they're called from now on.
The Jayhawk Talkies.
The Talkies.
We'll send you, what we used to have a gift, right? There was a gift.
There was?
It was like Beats by Dre headphones or something.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we got some of those laying around.
Yeah. Yeah.
No problem.
Otherwise, Kevin, I'm excited for this basketball season, and I'm excited for this football season to be over. So it's a good time of year for a KU fan.
And it's a good time of year to start the podcast, get it back up and going. Andrew, I'm excited for the podcast.
Me too.
So we're going to keep
this thing
going.
All right, next Sunday?
All right, done.
Okay, we'll be here.
We're doing it. Looking forward to that, Andrew. If you want to find us on the Twitter machine, it's at Jayhawk Talk. It's at Sherlock Hoops. If you want to leave us a review, that'd be awesome. It takes like 2 seconds. You just go out to iTunes, go to that Jayhawk Talk, hit that little subscribe button if you haven't already, and just leave that 5-star rating and review. Helps us a lot to get the podcast out. It's time to talk about college basketball, and we're going to do that through your ears on this podcast the rest of the year. So super excited to be back. Anything else before we get out of here?
That's it. Rock Chuck Jayhawk.
Send us your tattoo predictions. Rock Chuck. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us, they know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel, they know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my
It's for my J-Hope fans, for my J-Hopes, and if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering, nine times get to cheering with them banners held high, and the crowd going wild, night before the final four, you can't even sleep now, yeah we at the peak now, we can't even leap down, March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the booster showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my J-Hope fans, for my J-Hopes. This for my J-Hope fans, for my J-Hopes, Hopes. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hopes, baby. This for my J-Hope fans, for my J-Hopes. This for my J-Hope fans, for my J-Hopes. This for my J-Hope